Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I would just say high expectations in practice, just in everything we do and walkthroughs, just always being sharp and staying on your job and your responsibility. We all hold each other to high standards and high expectations. So, it's just about being better and pushing those around you to be better as well.
You're listening to The Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
Bears rookie corner, Jalen Johnson, meeting with the media via Zoom, and you look at some of these defensive numbers, they've been impressive. Maybe it's not as impactful like you would expect. You didn't get the interception the other day from Khalil Mack, but if you look at quarterback completion percentage allowed, the Bears are number one in the NFL. They've been fantastic in the red zone. You saw a little bit of that on Sunday against the Colts offense. Their down conversion, they're top three in the NFL. The problem, once again, Matt Nagy's offense has been the lack thereof. The inability to move the football, long, long stretches in these games every single week when they have not been able to score. Joe O Show, Sports Radio 670, The Score, hanging out until 10 o'clock right here, talking a lot of Bears-Bucks this evening. And let's continue that conversation going out to the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Our buddy Aaron Lemming from CBS Sports Bear Report and Windy City Gridiron joins us on Twitter at Aaron Lemming NFL. How you doing, Aaron? It feels weird. Like, I don't know how you feel, but aside from the COVID news, we wake up to this morning, I'm a little off kilter here with this Thursday night game coming up tomorrow.
Oh yeah, I hear you. I'm right there with you. I was just talking to a few different people earlier, and it's like, man, I hate when the Bears play Thursday night because it just feels so weird. It's like when you got one of those crappy games on, you know, you can kind of just like flip through it or watch a little bit of it, but when the Bears are playing, it's like, oh man, I gotta pay attention to a Thursday night game. I don't know. Especially having just moved out to the Central Time Zone, now I'm starting to understand why a lot of you guys didn't like the 3:25 starts, because that happened last week. And it's like, I definitely prefer them playing at the, you know, at the new slot at this point. But yeah, Thursday night, really, really, really glad that the Bears only have one of those this year.
Oh, I just noticed that. I didn't realize you moved from California to Texas. Why'd you make the move?
A little bit of a change, and had some family move out here. I said, Why not, right? I mean, it's a little closer to everything, so we'll see what happens. So far, so good. I mean, being in the middle of the Dallas and Fort Worth has been an interesting experience.
Yeah, I'm sure. They must be freaking out about the Cowboys right now. I heard so many people in the offseason pump them up like they're winning the Super Bowl. I'm like, wait. You guys remember Mike McCarthy in Green Bay, right? Like, he said the word analytics in the offseason, and all of a sudden he's a genius because he's not Jason Garrett?
Yeah, well, I was actually at that game on Sunday when they got blown out by the Browns, and it was definitely interesting. Yeah, because I was at a game last year too, and, you know, just to see – the hope kind of fade from that, you know, the fan base is, it's fun. See, I've never liked the Cowboys. So, you know, having gone to some of these games and seen some of these fans and how excited they get during the off season, it's always interesting to see how quickly that fades. But the crazy thing is, I mean, they're only a half game out of the division right now. Cause I think the Eagles are 1-2-1. And I mean, they're 1-3 and they're a half game out of the division. It's crazy.
Brutal. Yeah, they had their first win of the year on Sunday night, surprising San Fran, and then they're in first place after getting their first win. That division is brutal. And the Washington football team, they make a change at quarterback. They're already done with Dwayne Haskins after a few games.
Yeah, that was wild. You know, I'm not a big Dwayne Haskins fan, but, I mean, you're talking about a guy that's going into a second season that hasn't even started a full 16 games yet, and you're already benching him. And then I love Ron Rivera, but Ron Rivera is saying, well, we're in the thick of the division race. It's like, you guys may be 1-3. But let's be honest here. You guys are not in the thick of the division race because one of these teams will figure it out, and it's definitely not going to be the Washington football team.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the football team here. Bears and Bucks tomorrow. This point spread's been moving down because of this Tampa Bay injury report. First, I want to talk about a little bit about this past Sunday because I haven't had a chance to talk to you about Nick Foles since they made the change at quarterback. You know, if you look at what he's been throughout his career, he's a 31-year-old journeyman, and coaches really liked him. He's here to run the offense. He was the choice to be the guy whenever they were going to move on from Trubisky, and we all knew it was coming. Everybody did. We probably shouldn't be surprised. That's what happened this past Sunday. And, yeah, the Colts defense has been impressive, but against some of the worst offenses in the NFL, including the Bears offense. But I did find myself still a little shocked at the inability to move the ball and just to get in the red zone, the problems they had on Sunday.
Well, and see, correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe I'm misremembering this, but didn't I come on with you right after they made the Nick Foles move, right?
Yes.
I'm almost positive I did, yeah. And it was one of those things even at the time, right? It was one of those situations where you look at all the different options they had. And, you know, obviously the report came out after that. Apparently the Bears were one of the finalists for Tom Brady. Okay, whatever. But, you know, there was multiple different options. And obviously there was some context to be had behind some of those, like Cam Newton with his health and stuff like that. But the Bears jumped the gun. They went out and they made a move for Nick Foles. They traded a fourth-round pick. They guaranteed him $20 million. And all we've heard all offseason is how, you know, we're in a shortened last season and COVID's going on and they needed somebody familiar with the offense and all this other stuff. And, you know, obviously he looked pretty good for the most part when he came in week three and then this last week against the Colts. And obviously, the Colts are good defense, not taking anything away from that. But like you pointed out, the Bears couldn't move the ball. They scored, they had 3 points going in the last 2 minutes of the game for a garbage time touchdown. And you look at that, and I know a lot of people are going to say, well, it's, you know, full lack of mobility. It had nothing to do with full lack of mobility. I mean, he wasn't really getting hit that much. He didn't get sacked that much. The reality of it is, and I'm sure you've done the same thing going back and watching Nick Foles before, even with the Eagles, he's not an overly accurate quarterback. He never has been. He's just one of those quarterbacks that seems to make things happen in big situations. But unfortunately for the Bears, I mean, they've got a lot of issues offensively right now. And you could point the finger at whoever you want. I'm in the boat of it doesn't matter what Nick Foles does. Trubisky's still not the answer. He's still not the guy moving forward. There's no point in going back there. But it's getting to a point when you look at Matt Nagy's play calling where it's just he's reverting back to a lot of old habits and a lot of old habits that didn't work in terms of the run game going primarily inside zone after going primarily outside zone in week one. And you're still seeing the same struggles. Getting into the end zone is still a struggle for this team, regardless of who the quarterback is and regardless of what personnel they have around him. It is shocking to see because it's you would assume after last year and how bad this offense was, any sort of quarterback change, any sort of competition, the quarterback play would be elevated in some way, shape, or form. And so far, we have not seen that. And like I said, I don't care what defense you're playing. I don't care if you're playing the 85 Bears defense. Having 3 points until the last 2 minutes of the game is not acceptable in the NFL, especially when you look at the fact that Tampa Bay right now is they're averaging 30 points a game, and that's eighth overall in the NFL. I mean, this is an offensive league right now, and the Bears have 3 points going in the last 2 minutes of the game.
You want to talk about a balanced team. Yeah, they're eighth in scoring, and on defense, they're eighth in scoring, allowing only 23 points per game. And you talked about Matt Nagy's bad habits. Like, he may say the right things to the media or what the media wants to hear about having a balanced attack and at least establishing some sort of a run. Is it some sort of a threat? But we know he's looking at the tape this week. He sees this Bucs run defense second in yards per rush attempt this year, allowing only 2.7 yards per carry. He might try. I have a feeling he might try it early again, Aaron, and just completely abort and go pass heavy. It's going to be all Foles.
Well, and that's kind of the thing, right? Is, I mean, we just got done talking about the Colts defense, but I mean, look at Tampa Bay's defense. In terms of Football Outsiders DVO rankings, their DVOA rankings are second. I mean, they're second right behind the Colts. And in terms of the overall differential, in terms of how they're grading, it's not very different. And like you just pointed out, I mean, Tampa Bay has got the best run defense in the NFL. And I think, and this is something I've been pounding home in a lot of my articles and a lot of the previews and stuff that I do, is the Bears have to run the ball. They have to run the ball effectively. And in order to do that, they're going to have to mix up what they're doing. And unfortunately, when you have a guy like Nick Foles, you're going to go shotgun a lot more because that's what works for Nick Foles. But the issue is, and we saw this last year too with the run game, is the more that you're in shotgun, the more predictable your overall rushing attack becomes. And that's kind of something that we've seen. And especially, again, when you're not mixing in the different zone blocking schemes that you have, whether it's outside zone, whether it's inside zone, when you're strictly attacking between the tackles and usually running right over the center, right over the two guards, you're going to have issues. And yeah, it's definitely concerning because I think you look at it and obviously, I mean, Tampa Bay's got a good young defense and, you know, it's kind of a sore spot for some Bears fans because you look at their defensive coordinator, Todd Bowles. That was who the Bears wanted when Vic Fangio got that job. Unfortunately, he'd already committed to Bruce Arians. He held to his word, and the Bears ended up with Chuck Pagano, which is nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that. But when you look at what Todd Bowles has been able to do with that defense, I mean, we're talking 2018, not too long ago, when Trubisky had a career game when he threw for 6 touchdowns against that same Tampa Bay defense. And we're talking about the number 2 rated defense in the league through four games. I mean, it's impressive. And again, this is a very, very poor matchup for the Bears. I mean, I don't mean to be negative because I think they can win the game. But when you're looking at the matchups, yeah. I mean, you're looking at this Buccaneers defense against the Bears offense. And then the fact that, okay, Tom Brady may be 43 years old, but he's still 5-0 against the Bears. The Bears haven't figured out how to beat him. I mean, this is going to be a tough matchup regardless.
Everything I'm looking at in this matchup, Aaron, it makes me believe that this is going to be a low-scoring game. Do you agree?
I would say so. I mean, and here's the thing. I know a lot of people are knocking the Bears' defense right now. The Bears' defense is still good. It's not 2018 good, but it's still good. So, yeah, I'd agree with that, especially depending on what happens with some of those injuries at receiver for Tampa Bay. I mean, they're already going to be missing Chris Godwin. They could be missing Mike Evans or Scotty Miller or both at this point. Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm just hoping the Bears can score more than, you know, 10 or 11 points in a game.
Yeah, O.J. Howard out for the season. Leonard Fournette is designated as doubtful. So at least the Bears have won the injury reports so far this week. So this offseason, crazy, didn't have a lot of practice time. And then Foles was already limited with his practice time because they were having a quarterback competition, whether it was for show or for real. The snaps were split in the limited practice time that they did have. So as the season moves along, do you think it's going to be better?
I think it will be. I mean, maybe that's just blind optimism at this point, but I mean, is there anywhere to go but up? I mean, it's been that bad for this offense so far. And I think at least when you're comparing the two quarterbacks, when you're looking at Trubisky, when you're looking at Foles, Trubisky has the higher ceiling. I mean, he can have the better games. He has the better athleticism. But when you look at Foles, you know what you're getting with Foles. I mean, he's not a great quarterback. I don't even think he's a good quarterback. I don't even know if he's an average quarterback at this point. I mean, like you pointed out earlier on the show, I mean, he's a journeyman. But you know what you're going to get from Nick Foles. And I think one of the biggest things moving forward that the Bears are going to have to figure out how to do with a passing offense is they're going to have to find out how to go vertical, because that is one of Nick Foles' biggest things that he's actually really good at, is throwing the deep ball. And the Bears have the weapons to do it, whether it's Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, Anthony Miller, if he can catch the ball. I mean, there's multiple different options that they have down the field, but I think that's going to be an element that over time, and that maybe this is something that we start to see moving forward, where maybe they can start throwing a little bit more away of the Trubisky playbook and say, okay, you know we can go deep, so we're not going to really attack that part of the field. We're not going to have that attack. But now that Foles is in the game, hopefully they're able to build more of that into the offense, because that's a big value that he has. And I mean, we've seen it even over the you know, the 1.5 games that he's been in, where he is more accurate deep. Obviously, he had a few bad throws this last week. But overall, I mean, he's one of those guys where you actually have a consistent deep ball thrower. And that's something that the Bears haven't had, you know, since Trubisky really came into the fold. So I think Foles will get better. I think the big thing to remember, and again, going back and watching anything that he's done, whether that was in Jacksonville last year, whether that was with the Eagles, the first or the second time, he's not overly accurate. He's sporadic with his accuracy. He always has been. And I think, again, that's kind of up to Matt Nagy to be able to set him up in certain situations and get him into a rhythm. He's a rhythm passer, and he gets better as the game goes on. But his accuracy and his overall ball placement are always going to be sporadic. But I do think at some point in time, they're going to have to start taking advantage of that deep ball.
Joe Ostrowski with Aaron Lemming. He does work for CBS Sports Bear Report and Windy City Gridiron here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Are they going to extend Allen Robinson ever?
Man, it's one of those things that I keep waiting for it. And it's kind of something that a few people are pointing out. It's like the longer this drags on, I mean, I don't think he's getting extended this season. And in terms of optics, I understand, obviously, the two different contracts with what they gave Tariq Cohen. Injury aside, obviously, you can't control that. You know, the optics and everything are not great. I mean, the two contracts are very different. Obviously, Tariq Cohen got much less money. But when you're looking at value to the offense and you're looking at your most important player on the offensive side of the ball, Allen Robinson, I mean, really the only good news at this point is what they can do because the receiver market resets so much this offseason. I mean, Amari Cooper kind of kicked it off, and we've seen a decent amount of extension since. They can use the franchise tag next year. And I know a lot of people are getting a little wrapped around the axle with cap space and how things are kind of projecting. The Bears can make it work. I mean, any team can make it work. We've seen the Chiefs do crazy things. We've seen the Saints under Mickey Loomis do crazy things for years now. The cap can be manipulated. I'm not going to say the cap is fake because I don't believe that. But I do think that one way or another, Allen Robinson will be playing for the Bears in 2021. But man, I just don't understand what Ryan Pace is doing right now. You have to extend your best offensive player regardless of who the quarterback is. I don't care if they go out and they draft Trey Lance next year or whoever it may be. You still have to have that number one receiving option. And as we're seeing as the season progresses so far this year and last year and the year before, Anthony Miller is not reliable enough to allow Allen Robinson to walk and rely on somebody like that. So they got to figure something out one way or another. I think the most likely scenario is at least a tag to start out. It's not the most financial savvy way to do things, especially with the way that you can manipulate a contract. But I think either way, the Bears have that control moving into 2021, where either way, I think he's going to be on the roster. It's just going to be a matter of if it's a new contract or a franchise tag.
Defensively, do you think they have an issue covering tight ends right now, or is it just, you know, it's just what's happened so far, the way offenses have attacked them with only tight ends scoring touchdowns through the air?
Well, I think going back and kind of watching over the last few years, I mean, they have athletic linebackers, but they've always had an issue covering tight ends. I mean, it's been a situation for years now. And I think, you know, that's kind of the value of having a good tight end, right? I mean, that's the reason that every team wants a top-end tight end. That's the reason that teams are spending more on tight ends. That's the reason that they're drafting them higher. But I think the big key right now is, I mean, you got a guy in Danny Trevathan who is looking better than he did in week one and week two, but he still doesn't look like himself. And I think, if anything, the big knock that I have on Roquan Smith so far this year has been his coverage of tight ends and over the middle of the field. It seems like the Bears as a whole, if there's one real issue outside of the run defense that they have defensively, it's just covering the middle of the field. And I don't know if it's just more coverage concepts or what the deal is that is allowing this to happen, but the linebackers are not helping as well. So I would definitely say that there's an issue with tight ends, but I also say that just as a whole, I mean, going back over the last few weeks, especially on third downs when they're giving up plays, a lot of that is over the middle of the field. And I think a lot of that has to do with the linebacking situation. And then obviously with Deion Bush being out this week and maybe beyond this week, you know, they're going to have even more issues because they can't go that big nickel with the three safeties.
We can be a little positive. It looks like they found a couple guys, Jalen Johnson and Mooney for the future.
They have. And, you know, looking at it, and I know people are kind of jumping off the train on Cole Kmet. I was never a huge fan of Cole Kmet pick. But, man, it's four games in the season of a rookie tight end. You know, rookie tight ends don't produce much.
I had Brandon Robinson on the show the other night. I know you're a friend. I told him, I'm like, Brandon, rookie tight ends, it never happens anyways.
Exactly. Well, and that's just the thing, right? I mean, he was the first tight end taken in a weak rookie class. And again, I wasn't a huge fan of the pick, but I'm not going to write the guy off after 2 weeks, but after 4 weeks. But yeah, you know, it's There's a lot of pluses. I mean, I was just listening to you right before I came on talking about Jalen Johnson, and I know a lot of people like to focus on the interceptions, and that's always a fun thing. But man, I will gladly take somebody who's pretty locked down in coverage, and Kyle Fuller's having a great year too. I mean, there's definitely mm-hmm. some pluses here, and that's the thing. I mean, Ryan Pace has always done a decent job. I won't say there's been times when he's made some really nice acquisitions in the middle rounds. I'm not going to say he's done a great job, but he's done a pretty decent job of drafting. And, you know, a lot of that has come without first-round picks or, you know, hitting on first-round picks. But, yeah, Darnell Mooney has looked really good. I mean, he's the number two receiver, Jalen Johnson. I think over time, Travis Gibson's going to look better as well. So, I mean, there's definitely some positives. I mean, the Bears are 3-1, and they could very – I wouldn't say easily, but they could very well be 4-1 after this week. And I think this is a big game for them. I mean, it's not all bad by any means. It's just, you know, unfortunately after a loss where it looked like they were kind of sleepwalking, it's kind of hard to, you know, talk about a lot of good, especially going into another tough matchup tomorrow night.
My biggest issue with Pace, and I have a lot of fun with him on social media. I was even messing around with Bill O'Brien gone the other day. Is Pace now the worst GM in the NFL? And many people were reminding me they thought I forgot that Dave Gettleman was not in the NFL anymore. Looking at the Jets, I get all that. My biggest issue with him is not the Trubisky thing. It's, okay, you missed. You swung and you missed. That happens to the best of them. My issue is swinging once at the most important position in sports, the number one thing you should be trying to fix in 6 years.
Well, and he talked about that right when he first became the Bears GM. How ideally he wanted to take a quarterback every year. And it's funny, I was just thinking about it earlier. It's like there's been positions where he has just swung and missed on. And again, I'm not ready to write Cole Kmet off yet, but tight end's been another one. And I think one of the big issues that I've had, and again, you know, Trubisky was a miss. I was high on Trubisky. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I wasn't. I mean, Trubisky was obviously a miss. It is what it is. You need to draft more quarterbacks. But I think the biggest thing moving forward that's kind of soured me on Pace outside of just how they've dealt with Allen Robinson is their cap situation. It's weird because of the first few years, and granted they were rebuilding, but for the first few years, he didn't really have that Mickey Loomis influence. And all of a sudden, at least in my opinion, over the last like year or two, and I know you've had Brad on the show a few times, who's, you know, a cap expert. When you look at their cap health moving forward, it is not good. And then you look at guys like Robert Quinn, man, and it's like, you know, you look at what Leonard Floyd's doing in L.A., and then you look at what Robert Quinn has done for the Bears and the money disparity and the overall long-term commitment that they made to Robert Quinn. Those are the kind of moves that you're going to look back on here in a few years, one way or another, and be like, man, why did they make those moves?
Do you think it's more about the money, or is it going to be – like, we know that they're probably going to go through a period coming up pretty soon where they're really going to struggle. That's just look how the team's built. You're right. Do you think it's going to be more about bad money that has been spent or a bunch of years without first-round level talent?
Well, I think it's a combination of both, right? I think they kind of play hand in hand because you're not having – okay, let's just say they hit on Leonard Floyd. All of a sudden you're spending – that same type of money on Leonard Floyd that you would be Robert Quinn. I mean, the same thing with a quarterback. Instead of having to go out and spend another first-round resource or whatever they're going to end up doing at quarterback, you have your guy. And I think that's kind of a big thing when you look at a lot of the draft picks. And obviously a guy like Kevin White, not his fault, but there is a lot of misses early on in the draft and just the way things have been handled where, yeah, you look at just how they've kind of priced themselves out defensively. I mean, look at, you know, what happened with Adrian Amos, Bryce Callahan. Those were guys that they developed. The same thing with Nick Kwiatkowski, where they chose Zanny Trevathan, a veteran, over him. And those are the kind of things that hurt a little bit more because you look at some of the investments that they've made on the defense side of the ball and just some of the highest paid players that they have on this team. And yeah, it's going to hurt because unfortunately, you know, you draft well in the mid rounds, but when you're not hitting on your first round picks and then you're running around with your head on fire, basically having to spend on, you know, let's just say B minus talent and you're paying them to be B plus or A minus talent. I mean, it's just an issue. So I think both play hand in hand, quite frankly, and we'll see. I mean, again, it's one of those situations where we can say that they're going to be in trouble in a year or two from now, but the reality is, I mean, aren't they already in a sense kind of in trouble because they have Khalil Mack, they have, you know, all these high paid players. They've got to pay Allen Robinson at some point. But they're missing the biggest key on their team right now, and that's a quarterback. I mean, it's a tough situation for them to be in, and obviously I think a lot of that changes if they hit on a quarterback. But right now, they don't have a quarterback. So it's like, what kind of team are you really going to be moving forward, regardless of your cap situation and how many draft picks you have, if you don't have a quarterback that you can rely on?
Aaron Lemming, check out his work, CBS Sports Bear Report and Windy City Gridiron at Aaron Lemming NFL on Twitter. You know, it's funny, Aaron. I love just saying Bear Report because it brings me back to my childhood. And I talked to you about this when I came on your podcast before. But I do shows from home. We've been doing this since March. And in my office, there is a bag of Bear Reports from the 90s. I swear to you.
Man, that is awesome. It's amazing how much things have changed.
Oh, man. Okay, so I just grabbed a random one. Here, I'll tell you what's on the front. This is from May of 1990, Bear Report. It cost $1.95, and it's a picture of Mark Carrier in a USC jersey. Dicka hopes for a lot, LOTT, from first round pick. Bears land a Carrier.
Oh, wow.
Beautiful.
I'm going to end up going through these.
Yeah.
You know what's really funny is actually when I first started at Bear Report, I did an article for Jeremy back when Jeremy was still the editor and doing all the publishing and all that stuff. And I wrote, it was like a 3,000 word thing for him. And it was the first magazine article I'd ever done. I got it over to him and I was all excited. I was going to get a few of them and never done anything. And then he called me 2 days later and he's like, "Hey man, they just discontinued the magazine." So you may have me to blame for that. I don't know. As soon as I signed on and wrote the first magazine article I would have had, then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they got rid of the magazine and things have just been changing from there. And it's all digital now.
So before it was, or is it still the case? Do season ticket holders still get it, or is that no longer a deal?
No, not at all. No, at least to my knowledge, no. I don't think it's basically.
Well, maybe that was never. Maybe that was never the deal. Maybe I just assumed that's what happened when I was younger. That could be entirely true. It could have been.
I honestly don't know. I didn't even know a lot of history until Jeremy was telling me about it. Then you brought it up on the podcast, and then it was kind of one of those, like, Zach and I started talking about it and kind of went from there. But as far as I know, it's just basically a digital subscription thing, and it's still, you know, a lot scout-based where, you know, scout.com and I mean, they have a lot of awesome forums and different stuff going on there, but I think everything is – much more when CBS took over, everything went much more digital. And that was right about the time that I came in.
You've got to, man. It's the magazine business. Come on. It's everything's immediate right now. Do people want a recap of Sunday's game on Tuesday, even if you were able to get it out quickly? It's the world we live in, right?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I still would have liked to see my name in a magazine, but no, I get it. I mean, I think I just broke in probably a year or two too late, you know. But hey, it's all in good fun, and I enjoy it. So
there are some people that like having the newspaper. They like holding the magazine, so I certainly understand that too. And plus, all the screen time can't be good for any of our eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, and that's me being in IT. I can tell you that firsthand. My eyesight is not good as is, and is progressively getting worse.
Do those glasses work? I know a lot of people getting them.
What you said? What glasses?
What are they called? Blue light glasses? I forgot what they are.
I can honestly not tell you. I don't think I. Yeah, I probably wouldn't even wear them, even if I was required to. Now I'm sure that they probably do to a certain extent, but I mean, it's kind of like anything. Everything's bad for your health at this point. So I'm just like, hey, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing, and if I'm blind in 20 years, then I guess I'll just have to find something different.
All right, Aaron. Thanks for your time tonight. Look forward to doing it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again for having me on. Appreciate it.
Good stuff with Aaron Lemming. See, I just talk about random stuff. Aaron's like, "Joe, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm pulling out these old Bear Reports." Studs, if you were at my house, you'd be going through this entire thing. All this is before you were even alive.
Well, I was born in 1990.
Here's one. August 18th, 1990, and it's Jim Harbaugh dropping back on the cover. Good old number four.
Oh, geez.
Here's one of the things on the side. Hampton can't leave game yet. Armstrong feels like a Bear now. So that was at the beginning of Trace Armstrong's career. That's how long ago that was. Ridiculous. Joe O Show, Sports Radio 670, The Score. I want to switch to a little bit of baseball. We've been going Bears Bucks heavy with the game tomorrow night. I think we gave you a full preview with all the guests that we've been having throughout the evening. But I want to talk about Ozzie Guillen and what he had to say this morning. And man, he was out there making a strong case for himself. Don't ask about some of these other people who should be allowed back in the game. What about him? What about him? Ozzie wants back in the game, and he isn't ashamed to admit it. But I don't know that he's expecting it's going to happen. I want to talk about that on the other side. Joe Ostrowski with you. This is 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe Ostrowski here, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Thanks for hanging out on this Wednesday. My days are all messed up. Bears playing on a Thursday throws everything off. Keeping you updated on the MLB playoffs, the Rays are out to an 8-2 lead over the Yankees in the bottom of the sixth inning. The winner of this game will take a 2-1 series in the best-of-five ALDS matchup. Padres out ahead of the Dodgers, 1-0, bottom of the second. Finals from earlier, Braves blank the Marlins 2-0, and the Athletics get a win in their series against the Astros. So that will be pushed to a game number four. Houston trying to wrap that series up. They'll get an opportunity tomorrow. Joe Osho, 670 The Score. Thanks for hanging out once again. I want to switch to some baseball. We've been doing a lot of football tonight, and there's something It really stood out as I was listening to Ozzie Guillen on the Mullion Haw Show talking about the White Sox, a little bit on the MLB playoffs, and just some managers that were out of the game in 2020, and maybe they're going to creep back in. Should they be allowed back in the game? David Haw asked Ozzie about a couple of guys like Cora and Hinch. Not Ed Lynch. Boy, had a Murph flashback. AJ Hinch. But take a listen. Here's his appearance with Mullion Haw this morning on The Score.
Man, you know, Alex is my son. AJ, I don't know him. I think he's a great baseball man. But that made me sad, man. That made me sad because all of a sudden, I hear his name. I'm my name's not mentioned because what? Really? They're not better manager than me. Sorry. I don't care. They're not better manager than me. But, hey, second chance? Everybody has second chance. Everyone besides me. Everyone deserves second chance. And they hopefully they learn from the mistake. And I'm glad they mentioned them. But sometimes not fair because few people deserve to be there before they did. At least even mention their name. But that's the way it is, man. You know what I mean? I'm glad. You know what I mean? Alex Cora is my son. AJ Hinch is a group baseball man. But what they did, well, I don't know if they did or not. What they was involved, it made me think about where Major League Baseball going. What we thinking? Some people... You know what I mean? Do less and they have less opportunity. But I hope they get the job, man. I hope they go out there and get the job with Major League Baseball. That's nothing I can control. I don't worry about it. But it made me sad because how those guys got a second opportunity to manage it, and a lot of people, including myself, we don't. That's a good shock.
Have you heard from anyone, Ozzy?
Not really. I don't want to be, you know, be honest with you. I don't want to be the check mark. You know right. what I mean? Oh, we interview a Latino. We interview Ozzy Guillen. Now, if I'm going to go there, I know. I think being laid off out of baseball, managing for a few years, I learned a lot because I got to watch every manager, every move, every time they talk, what kind of move they make. And believe me, with all my respect to every manager in the game, I'm better than few and a lot.
Yeah.
But, hey, I just wait. But I want when they call me, if they call me, for real, I'm having fun what I'm doing. I love to be back in the game. Yes, I'm not better than anybody. I love to be back in uniform. I love to be back to be as a manager. And by the way, I told some people, hey, you go to the bank to me, you can just pay me whatever you want. Give me the meal money. It's not about the money. It's about my pride. It's about my pride. It's about my grandkids can see grandpa managing. And back in the game, the game I lost. But it's not about the money at all. And I know how the media work now. It's easy to manage now. I know how the front office work now. Everything is then. You got to put my situation when I grow up. Then now, it's a different thing again. You know, because I'm not that dumb. You know, I know how that thing work now. Before, it's a fight. Before, it's a working against the media, players, front office. Now, you just go there, manage your game, and don't have to worry about much. And, you know, hopefully I get the opportunity. And I'm waiting for the opportunity, yes. If I'm not asleep because of the opportunity, no. We find my wife, my family love what I'm doing. I have a lot of fun. I can make a fun of the players. I can talk about everybody and don't get in trouble and get paid for it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I've been doing this for six years. I love it. I did the national wise. And one thing about it, people thinking about me, hey, just watch my videos. Let's watch what I do. Let's watch the way I talk. The break game, good games. You know what I mean? I grew up a lot in baseball, a lot. I went to coach minor leagues, winter league, not because I wanted to jump in the big league. It used to lead the experience. And I did. And it was back in my country. I don't have fun at all. I love it. I was with my family. My wife was with family. I was managing the team I grew up with. But it wasn't fun because I love to win. We was good enough to win. And it wasn't fun at all.
Ozzy Guillen, this morning with Mullion Hall Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Clearly wants to be back in the game. Anybody that's ever talked to Ozzy understands that. I love Ozzy Guillen. I look forward to post games on NBC Sports Chicago. I can't wait to watch them. Sometimes I find, most times, even though they're a really fun team, I find the post game with Ozzy or when they do that crosstalk sometimes in the middle of the game, that's the most entertaining part. I love watching it. Ozzy is great for the game of baseball. He's a terrific ambassador. The role of the manager now versus when Ozzy was managing in the game is quite different. You are in some ways the face of the organization, but a lot of times the decisions aren't made by you. It's made by the front office, sometimes before the game, the in-game decisions or the plan. The biggest thing to me seems to be the media duties and getting along with the players and make sure they're in a good place. Right now, the job has changed, whether any of us like it or not. In the current climate, I see a lot of people that have relationships with Ozzy. And after seeing these comments and you see the story posted on social media and saying, yes, please hire this guy, hire Ozzy Guillen. He should get a job. Look at all these other people that have jobs. Fair. Look around. In the climate we're in right now, if a team were to step up and hire Ozzy Guillen, we know the reaction. He made a couple really big mistakes that cost him his job. And I'm not saying it's on Ozzie, but a team might say he couldn't even get along with the general manager and they won a World Series. That was always an issue. Why did Jerry choose Kenny over Ozzie? That happened too. And it wasn't just Fidel Castro. He got in trouble for saying some stuff here. And now it's 2020. It's a lot different. He's great for the game. I love watching him on TV. I don't see any way in 2020 a team steps up and says, yep, we're going to hire Ozzie Guillen. Studs, you're the big Sox fan. Am I off base on this one? I think he's great for baseball, but I don't see now any team willing to step in and say, yep, we're going to hire him as our manager.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. He's been out of the game, but what was his last year managing? Like 20, I can't remember.
2012.
Okay, yeah. So he's been out of the game. Like, and even in 8 years, like you were alluding to, like the game has changed a lot in 8 years. And look, I love Ozzie too. And if he were to be hired by the Sox as manager, I'd be all for it. But I don't necessarily think that's the path they should take. Just because, like, no. I feel like he's better served, you know, in the booth in his role. Like, I feel like he's better at what he's doing now than he would be as a manager.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. Now, most people would say, oh, they're not going to admit that mistake. If there is a team that would bring someone back, it is the White Sox. So I get why people make that case. This segment on The Score brought to you by Valparaiso University. We all want to be part of something bigger. At Valparaiso University, you can be part of something bigger without losing yourself in the crowd, and you'll discover that making the world a better place isn't wishful thinking. Visit valpo.edu to request information, apply, or schedule a visit. Joe Ostrowski with you. Score Rewind coming your way at 9 o'clock. You've got 670 The Score on the radio.com app. Joe Ostrowski here. Bears-Bucks tomorrow night. Sports Radio 670 The Score. One of my favorite Bears follows on Twitter is my buddy Brandon Robinson. He's a former college safety. He breaks down a lot of film, and he has a lot of strong opinions on this Bears squad. And I had him on the show last night. I wanted to bring you about a 90-second clip of him talking about this Bears-Bucks matchup and which team has the big advantage going in.
They ran a lot of 12 personnel. They ran a lot of 13 personnel, which is what they've been running so far this year. But it's all from under center, and that's just not – that doesn't tailor to what Nick Foles does well. He needs his feet set and ready to go to pass the ball because he's just – he's not athletic. He's just a statue back there. I mean, and they've been running the second most 13 personnel in the league, and you're doing that with bum tight ends. Like, you can't – why would you want more tight ends on the field when you don't have a single good tight end? It's like 33% success rate from pass out of 13 personnel, 27% run success rate at 13 personnel. Just scrap it. Like, it's not working at all.
You said the Colts was a bad matchup. Is this this game against the Bucks on Thursday, is it a bad matchup, or is it they're just going to need time to figure some of this out?
Well, it's a better matchup because the Bucks run a lot of man coverage versus the Colts run a lot of cover two, which is five men underneath in coverage, which takes away a lot of the RPOs. And I don't know if that's why Nagy didn't run more RPOs at a shotgun. It would make sense, but I mean, that's kind of playing scared. So I think they can have more success if they run more 11 personnel and bring Anthony Miller out of the field and utilize him in matchups against slot corners for the Bucks. I mean, they've been running the ball really well at a shotgun at 11 personnel, 62% success rate. I don't see why they don't run more of it.
Brandon Robinson with me last night right here on Sports Radio 670. The Score, looking forward to Bears-Bucks tomorrow night on the national stage. I don't know if we're going to have multiple postponements this weekend. There's a chance, based on some of the news that we were getting this morning, at least one game, at least. But that game, we should be good to go as far as Bears-Bucks tomorrow at the very least. Coming up next, we've got Score Rewind. Some terrific interviews lined up. How about the Bears radio analyst Tom Thayer? You're going to hear from him. You also hear from Cubs outfielder Ian Happ and Michael Lombardi actually being a little optimistic about the Bears' chances tomorrow night. This is Joe Osho, 670 The Score in the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.